Monday evening to you, day after Christmas. Thank you for joining me on Kayak Fishing Radio. I am your host, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Christmas, it's gone. Kind of glad, kind of sad. Had some family in town, that was cool to see, and got to spend some time with family that was, you know, live here. We just don't get to see very often, and it was good, man, really good. The kids had a ball, which is what it's all about, and I've learned that now the last couple years. It's fun to watch the progression of your kids go from not having a clue what Christmas is or what Christmas is about or anything like that to really kind of being totally into it. And my oldest boy, Trey, for like a week and a half solid before Christmas, was walking around the house singing jingle bells and all kinds of other Christmas carols, and I thought that was just really cool and kind of knocked the bah humbug right out of me. So, it was a great holiday. I hope everybody else had a good one as well. I'm going to get to some of that a little bit later on. Of course, everybody wants to know what everybody got for Christmas, and I'm sure the folks in the chat room, and I have Rob, a bad backcast DeVore, on the line with me. How are you, sir?
Good, sir. Good, sir. And happy holidays to you, man.
And to you as well. And I'm pretty curious to know what Rob got for Christmas. Is, you know, most people probably would be, to see if we got any cool new fishing stuff or kayaking stuff or whatever. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. But being that it is a kayak fishing show, let's talk a little bit about kayak fishing and the goings-ons of my week last week. I've got a really, really, really good report from a charter that I ran last week with a lot of really good tips to get to on things that we did that were a little bit different than typical things that I had done in times past this time of year. So we'll get into that a little bit. But let's see. Real quick, couple things I want to cover real fast. Again, February the 10th and 12th of next year, which is going to be like next week, will be next year. Funny. is the Old Florida Outdoor Festival in Apopka, Florida. I've talked about it on my show for the last couple of weeks pretty solid. It's going to be a great event. There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on out there, which is convenient because it kind of coincides with our boondoggle, which will be taking place down in Chokoloskee, Florida. That's the southwest corner, just above the – well, actually just south of Everglades City, I believe, right? Kind of-ish. And in and amongst the 10,000 islands, which is like fishing paradise. So if you are making an extended trip down to Florida or if you live here, try and make it out to the Old Florida Outdoor Festival in Apopka. It's going to be a great time. I just met with the Jackson Kayak rep the other day over at Mosquito Creek Outdoors, and we kind of discussed, you know, kind of a game plan of what we can maybe do at the outdoor festival and stuff. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be doing some seminars there on the water, seminars. We'll have a booth there and all kinds of stuff, but there's just a ton of things going on. They got a hunting exhibit, all kinds of stuff, you know, talking about hunting. They've got fishing tents set up to where, you know, there's going to be some of the top names in the industry will be there discussing tactics and stuff like that. It's a three day long festival, and it coincides with a couple of country music concerts. If you're into country music, I am. I don't think Rob is, but that's cool. Jake Owen is going to be there Friday night. That's February the 10th, and Tracy Lawrence will be there Saturday night, February the 11th. So should be a lot of fun to be had. I saw the venue for the first time, and the thing is going to be absolutely huge. So if you are out of state and you're listening to the podcast or listen to the show live tonight, it might would behoove you to try and make it down here for that. It's going to be absolutely insane. So we're expecting somewhere around 20,000 to 30,000 people. So it'll be pretty interesting to see how it all works out. But anyhow, so that's pretty much the that and the Boondoggle taking place again the next weekend are the two main things I got going on. I don't think there's anything else happening in January that's set in stone yet. I know that there's going to be a few seminars coming up in January as well. And once I know the definite dates and times, I'll let you guys know in case anyone can make it down here. Yeah, it's warmer down here. I think, well, I don't know if Mark was asking me that. He might be asking Hammerhead that. But it's pretty warm down here today. I don't know what it was like over in your coast, Rob, but it was in the 70s all day long today. Yesterday, peaked up into the 80s, which was a little bit ridiculous. But what's it like over there, Rob?
It was about in the 70s today. Kind of gloomy and quite breezy.
Yeah,
it was. You know, if you lived up north at all, and you know those days when it would just get gray and overcast and look like it was going to snow, that's how it looked for the greater part of the day today. Kind of foggy.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the way it looked like over here, too. The wind picked up, which kind of stinks because I was hoping to maybe get out on the water tomorrow. And I had a possible trip to do tomorrow, but, you know, we'll see. I don't know. They're calling for 70% chance of rain tomorrow. So we'll see. But quickly, fishing report. So I had a charter last week. I took a father and son out who I've had out before, and we went to one of my favorite places, the same spot I took my dad to the week prior, and or the couple days prior. So we get out there, and they meet me at the location, and I guess I was probably, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes early, but they beat me there, and they were already launched, and they were already paddling to the spot. So I felt kind of bad, but I mean, I was on time. I don't know, whatever. They were really excited, he said. So as they were paddling over, I was watching them paddle through mullet. And I'm just like, oh, come on, stop. Just stay where you are. Let the sun come up a little bit. You know, give these fish a chance to do something. But man, what a freaking day we ended up having. It started off, I think I caught the first fish of the day, just a little redfish, and then my clients caught, I don't know, I want to say for the total for the day, over 15 redfish, and all solid redfish, except for I think two of them might have been little dinks, but other than that, they're all pretty solid, and then 40-some-odd trout, and every single trout, with the exception again of just a couple, would have been keepers if the season was open. They're all like 18 inches and bigger. Caught a ton of them in the 20-inch range, which is just incredible for the area where we fish, because we didn't really move a whole lot. We kind of stayed in the same spot, you know. So bait of choice, as always for me, was a shad tail. This time it was Bass Assassins Blurps, which they no longer make, but they still make the shad tail, so color of choice didn't make a difference. I think we threw as a group 3 or 4 different colors and caught fish on all of them. However, this was interesting, and I'll get to you, Rob, and ask you if you've had any of this experience as well. I typically throw my shad tails this time of year on weedless hooks because there's still some grass and still some weeds on the lagoon bottom and on the river bottom. As the water temperature keeps dropping, some of that stuff will die off and it won't be so bad, and you can go back to a jig head. But we were throwing them with weedless hooks, and you'd feel bites, but you just wouldn't, you know, come tight. Even if you tried to set the hook on them, you just couldn't come tight to the fish. And I didn't really know what was up with that. I wasn't sure if it was because they're just biting so subtle. They weren't really aggressively striking the lure. They were just kind of like coming up and kind of mouthing it. Or if the hooks were just buried too far into the plastic, I don't know. But as soon as I switched over to a jig head and switched the guys over to jig heads, it was just like night and day difference. But I don't know. Have you ever experienced anything like that, Rob?
Yeah, I was getting hit today with stuff. And you know how like mackerels hit where they hit and they just go the other, like when they hit it, your line just starts going the other direction quickly.
Right.
To the left or to the right. That's what was happening today. I don't know if I don't have a clue what it was. My buddy Alan got a bluefish today, so I thought it may have been maybe a couple of more of those. But it was ridiculous today. It was a good day. But no, I don't know exactly what that was or why that is. I was just using regular old 1/16 ounce Wahoo jig heads, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, I've never really experienced it like that before, so it was kind of different. It was like you didn't get any more hits from using the jig, but the hits that you did get felt about the same, but you would definitely hook up a lot better. So it was pretty interesting to me. I've never really noticed having a problem setting the hook with the weedless hook before. I mean, it's such a big hook. I mean, I'm using 3-0s, so it's like, I don't know. Interesting.
Dude, I don't know what it, I think it's like pre-cold front or something, but today, first of all, it's unseasonably warm over here. Okay. I don't know what it was. It was just really weird. It's almost like a spring pattern that the fish are on right now. Because we went out to this Dunedin Causeway, headed south, hit the sandbar, turned east, and I'm like, well, we'll fish this edge here. It's like a sandbar / grass flat that drops off right there. And, you know, we'll fish the edge. Not, you know, a couple of dink trout. The dink trout were fatter than I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm talking like a 10-inch trout, and these things were like balloons, dude. I don't know what. I don't know if they're like, they look too small to be breeders to me. You know?
Right.
But they,
right.
Whatever it is, they're eating really, really well. And they were aggressive because we were in about 5 to 6 feet of water on grass flat, on grass today, and they were chasing stuff down, man. It wasn't any sort of a winter pattern whatsoever. I had several times where I just had, like, you reel it back to the boat, and then you just kind of set your rod down in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in 6 feet of water, and I saw a trout come up and eat my lure hanging off my rod about a foot off of my rod tip, just sitting on the edge of, you know, sitting in the water, you know.
That's awesome.
It was ridiculous. And there wasn't a whole lot of dinks today. It was, we had a couple of dinks, but most of them were keepers and up to 25 inches. Like I said, my buddy Alan got about a 15, 16-inch bluefish, which was really weird. And I caught several legal-sized black sea bass, all on a white DOA tail.
Nice.
Crazy.
Nice. That's awesome, man. I wish I had black sea bass in our intercoastals. I got the Lozier clan in the chat room. Appreciate you guys joining us tonight. Feel free to call in if you want. The number, as always, is 714-816-4727, 714-816-4727, if you guys want to get in on the conversation. Yeah, it was strange, man, and that was what I was going to get into next, is that it's definitely not a wintertime pattern, and I can't wrap my head around it. The water's cold. You know,
it is?
Yeah, over here the water's nice and cold, nice and chilly, but
it was 67 today, water
down. Dude, I'm telling you, and because I got out even with the waders on, I felt the cold, against my legs a little bit. So it was, you know, chilly enough to feel it to waders, which is pretty chilly.
You got to wear something under, you know, under your waders, dude.
Oh,
going out with just waders on, you can't do that, man. You got to have like a base layer on and you know, sweatpants or some shorts or something. I mean, I know you're in Titusville and everything, Chuck, but you got to wear some sort of pants with your waders. You know, you can't wear just waders.
Yeah. So, hang on just a second. I got a caller on the line from the 757.
It's Mark.
One part of the Lozier clan. What's going on?
One part of the Lozier clan. What's going on, Mark?
How y'all doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Hey, see ya.
Just kind of hanging out, man. Can't wait for you to get back down here. I know you're not in any kind of hurry, but man, the fishing's been dynamite. So hopefully it'll continue until you get back down here, so we can go out and do some of that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it sounds like you've been getting in them pretty good. Glad to hear that.
Man, it's been crazy. But that's just it. It's been weird. It's been a springtime kind of thing going on. I was getting into talking a little bit about, and I just got Steve Chapman just logged in. How's it going, buddy? We worked our way past a bunch of docks, and I found a spot where there was just an absolute pile of mullet, and not even giant mullet. There was some finger mullet mixed in there too, and I don't know, man. It just looked too good to pass up. Like, I couldn't just paddle by it or paddle, you know, near it and throw to it. So I kind of hugged the shoreline a little bit or a lot. And when I did, I noticed that it was real muddy, which is one pocket sometimes holds some mud. I mean, it's not always a nasty mud bottom like it was, but this particular day it was. And, man, there was redfish up in there with their eyes out of the water, like pushing across the mud. And it was just crazy. I just stuff you normally just don't see yet, you know? And I caught one nice fish, about a 25, 26 incher right out of that spot, and pushed up a couple more where my clients got on them. And we decided to go ahead and just call it like our little hole for the day. We jumped out of the kayaks and did a little bit of wading right near them. And we never left for about another hour, hour and a half. And in that hour, hour and a half span, we caught probably 30 trout, and all of them, again, were 18 to 25 inches. And I don't know how many redfish. I know we caught over 15 reds. I'm not going to say we caught over 20, but I know for a fact we caught over 15, doing just the math of how many I know the other two guys caught and then the ones I caught. But it was funny because if you cast it parallel with the shoreline, and fished and reeled a little bit slower, you'd pick up redfish. If you threw straight out from you, out towards the west, because we were on the east side of the river, you'd pick up a trout. And it didn't matter how many times you casted to the west, you'd pick up another trout. So I know, Rob, you like to catch the trout. So when you start getting into some bigger trout, that 20-inch range, I don't know about over there, but over here they seem to be a little bit more territorial, and you don't find quite as many of them stacked up.
Today we did.
Did
it
you?
It was pretty steady. Most, you know, we got into little pockets of them and stuff, but I'm really surprised because it was the ratio of dink trout to, you know, keeper size and up was really in the keeper size range. You know, it was good. We got a couple of hogs, a couple of BCs, but most of them were in the keeper size, you know, range, or just right around keeper size. But they were, it was really strange the way that they were jacked up, man. They were all, it was, like I said, it was very much like a springtime pattern. They were very aggressive. I figured out that they didn't want a slow presentation. They were hitting the bait either as it dropped or when it was moving. They never hit it when it was sitting still. So they were very, very aggressive today. And they were really, really strong, you know. When you get a dink trout and you get one and you feel the fish and you're pulling and there it is, you know. You know, it's a dink. Well, today I couldn't tell if it was a 20-inch trout or if it was a 10-inch trout. You know, it was, they were really jacked up today, man. So it was a good day. We had a really good day. And yesterday, my buddy Alan had a really good day over at in Apollo Beach. Several 27-inch redfish and even a snook.
Is your audio bad?
Yeah, I'm checking to see if the audio is bad. I don't know.
What am I cutting out?
No, well, kind of, but I'm not sure if it's if it was me or if it's just might just be in my headphones. I don't know. Lozier, can you hear me?
Yeah, we're fine on the phone, and my wife actually has her computer on, and she said her sound's fine over there where she's at on the computer. So I don't know.
Okay. All right,
just
cool.
The voices in your head.
Yeah, right. Steve Chapman, just try and refresh the page. Sometimes that helps. Over on the kayak fishing radio site. But well, that's awesome, Rob. I'm glad you got to get out. Mark, have you guys got to go out? I saw you guys got some new Christmas gifts, some new toys.
Yeah, we got some new toys in the house. Not went on the water yet. We got a couple of trips planned on a buddy of mine who's a captain's boat for some striper, and then we're gonna probably do the yaks the rest of the week for trout and stuff, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so we just been catching up on family time and Christmas up to now, so
absolutely. That's awesome, man. I bet you're glad to be home. How cool is it up there?
It's not bad. It's been in the 50s, sunny every day. I mean, it gets knit down at night, frost on the cars in the morning, but by 10 o'clock it's warmed up enough. I mean, it's not cold yet, that's for sure. So, and it's supposed to get warmer, actually. That's why I'm kind of putting off the kayak fishing until the weekend, let the river warm up a little more for the trout. Like I said, it's supposed to be in the low 60s by Friday. So that'll get things a little better where we're fishing. Yeah.
Nice.
What's the water temperature?
I haven't checked the river since I got back. It's probably in the mid-low 60s in the river. In the bay now, it's in the upper 40s, so low 50s. So it's going down, which will get the fish moving. They've been having a real good bite here the last few days on the stripers, actually. Well, you guys aren't familiar, but we have a little run from Cape Henry to the Ramada, which is like the first hotel on the oceanfront strip, and they've just been picking them up left and right, I guess, out there. So they're getting into their winter progression out, moving south and east. So
sweet.
Should be pretty good. So like I said, I got a buddy that's a captain that wants to get out on his boat some and take us for a ride, so we'll go out and fish for the striper in the boat, and then we would do the trout. We have I'm sure everybody, I don't know if you guys have all that down there, but we got the Elizabeth River here, which is a commercial waterway that comes out of Norfolk where all the ships are for the shipyard, yada, 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 but also has the power plant on it, so the discharge from the power plant. So it keeps the water. We catch trout, reds, all kind of stuff throughout the winter in there because it keeps the water a little warmer.
Right.
So we can still catch some of the more favored inshore species when everything else around here is gone. And it's nice this time of year because everybody's striper fishing. When them striper come out, everybody's brain goes into striper mode, so we go over there and catch the trout. But once the bay season closes on the 31st, then everybody with the small boats that can't fish in the ocean, they'll be over in the river after the trout and stuff. So then it's time to hang it up.
Yeah, we've got, we don't have a power plant local to me that's, you know, right on the waterway. As far as the leading out to the ocean, our big port here is Port Canaveral. It's where I work sometimes out there at Handler Fish and Supply. And we do have two power plants, though, on the intercoastal. We've got one of them has a pretty significant discharge, of warm water, and the other one's being rebuilt as we speak, which still discharges warm water for the manatees. So a little fun
there
tip
you go,
there
for the manatees.
For you.
Chris was just asking me. Yeah, Chris was just asking me that because it's funny, quick story. She's always wanted to see a manatee. And 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we came down to, where do we go? Fort Myers to fish. She fished in a ladies-only tournament. And I did not know this, but there was a place in Tampa, I guess, where the power plant is, and they have a manatee park, I guess, so the best way to call it.
Yeah,
and I just
Apollo Beach.
I just happened to see it, a little sign on the side of the road, and luckily for me, she didn't see it. So I just, like, pulled off the interstate. We're almost where we're going. She's like, what are we doing? I was like, just relax, you know. And you start driving down the road, then it turns into, like, a dirt road. It looks like you're going back in the hood, you know. And she's looking at me like, honey, are you nuts, you know. And finally you come around the corner, and there's this very beautiful, nice little manatee place where you can go in and walk around, and all the manatees are swimming, and they got the little tour and a building in there that kind of tells you all about manatees and a gift shop, so rescue and all that. So it was really cool. So like I said, she said, I hope we get to see a manatee when we're down here. So we did.
My bucket list. I hear it got off my bucket list.
Yep.
That's cool. We get them.
Yeah, we have.
Go ahead, Rob.
I have several power plants in this area. There's three right here in my general vicinity. But problem is they close off the area within about a half mile of it, of the discharge, from November 15th to March 15th. So you can't even get close to it to fish it.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, that one that Mr. Bozier's talking about there, that's all stacked up with tarpon and stuff too in the wintertime, at least in the springtime. So it definitely, you know, makes you can't fish around there at all, you know, so kind of, it's always the case, you know, when there's no fishing signs up and prohibited and all that stuff, that's where you see about five or six, about 80 to 100 pound tarpon just kind of lazing around.
Yeah, I'm going to, I'm going to bring my cameras out and do some filming the day that they open ours back up to fishing. So I'm really, really excited about it. Yes, as a matter of fact, I do run into manatees all the damn time. I'm not quite so enthusiastic about manatees as some others are. I don't have a problem with them, I guess. But I guess my main issue with manatees is just the fact that they decide they want to sleep on the bottom sometimes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When you wake one up by paddling over the top of them, yeah, it's like going down a stage 4 or something like that rapid. It's kind of crazy for a second. I've watched a full-grown manatee launch a grown man in a 14-foot kayak about 5 feet in the air. So, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, the first year I fished the Jack's Classic Tournament, which is probably 5 or 6 years ago now, we fished in Guana. You know where that is? Guana. Yeah, and we got out there at, like, gray light, and I had just kind of anchored up, like, around a little grass island and started throwing, and I heard this big blow of air, and this scared the bejesus out of me. I looked over, and there's that little fuzzy, you know, it was like gray light, so you can't really see anything, and I just heard that exhale, and I looked over, and we looked eye to eye at each other, and my heart probably stopped for a few minutes before I figured out. I mean, it is scary because that's all I thought of, man. If he would have came up, you know, two more feet to one side, I would have been turtled and, you know, everything. But, yeah, that was my first encounter with one.
Yeah, they tell you down here you're not supposed to touch them and you're not supposed to mess with them or whatever. But, listen, man, they are a cool creature. I've grown accustomed to seeing them. I kind of understand understand what's going on with them. Yeah, Steve Chapman said manatee, the other white meat. You'll be paddling. Listen, you'll paddle across a flat down here and not see one. And then all of a sudden, like you say, all of a sudden you hear the them releasing that air. It almost sounds like a turbine going off. And
scares me to death.
Yeah,
I'll be drifting and it'll just, you know, it'll be nice and quiet and peaceful when I'm fishing, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have one surface and it'll go, and it, you know, next to the kayak, it just scares me.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what's really cool. They'll come right over to the kayak because they're very curious creatures by fault of their own. It's probably one of the reasons why they get hit so many times by boats and such. But they'll swim over to you, and if you've got a paddle blade in the water or a bucket, string them behind you. I've even had them come up and try and rub their backs on a fish stringer with a couple fish dangling off of it. Anything that's hanging in the water, they'll come up to it and kind of rub on it. And I've had them come up underneath the kayak and roll upside down on their bellies and put their flippers around the sides of the kayak and kind of rub their belly on the kayak just to kind of scratch themselves. And then they turn around and just swim away. And it's pretty cool to see them. I had a mom and a baby by me, probably, I don't know, it might have been about 6 months ago or so, and they would not leave me alone for anything. I'd paddle as hard as I could, and I'm like, man, I'm gaining. I mean, I'm getting away from them. I'm leaving them leaving them behind. And they just, as soon as I stopped paddling, here they come. And the baby especially was really curious. Would roll on its side and kind of like look at you and stick his mouth out of the water and try to like nibble on the end of your paddle blade and stuff. It was just, it's the craziest thing. But we have probably one of the densest populations of manatees over here on the Space Coast. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we've got, they are trying to mate with me sometimes, it seems like. Over here on the Space Coast, we have a couple of no-motor zones, and those are just manatee refuges, man. They can go back up in there and not get messed with it by anybody, and it's a lot of fun to see them, you know, but there's like, okay, it's cool to see, now leave me alone, and then there's like, holy crap, you scared the hell out of me time, so... real quick, got another caller calling in from the 863 area code.
What's up?
Hey, Wood. Saw you got some cool stuff for Christmas.
Oh yeah, I got a few things.
Right.
No fishing related items, but it's all good.
Did you get to fish at all this holiday?
I sure did.
And I imagine you caught a bunch of fish?
It was real slow. We went out Friday, and we must have covered 6-7 miles, and we saw very little. Today we went out, had to fight for the first part of the morning, but when the tide turned and started coming in, we started connecting pretty good.
Yeah, good deal. We're just talking about, we were talking about my fishing report from a couple of days ago, and then we got into talking about some manatees, so that was kind of the topic there for a minute, was talking about manatees, and in the chat room, it looks like I'm getting owned right now, so we'll just go ahead and leave it at that. No, you know what's really cool, too, this time of year? One of the other things we see a lot of over here is a lot of sea turtles. I don't know what the deal is with that, because I don't usually see them in the summertime, which is when you would think that you would see them, would be in the summertime. But in the wintertime, we see them quite a bit up in the Mosquito Lagoon, and big ones, too, big green sea turtles. And I've never seen a leatherback in the lagoon, but... and loggerheads, a lot of loggerheads. But the sad part of that is if they don't find their way back out into the ocean in a timely manner, they'll pass away. We found, I don't know how many dead sea turtles in the lagoon 2 years ago from the freezes, and I rescued two that I know made it, or at least I think made it. They weren't there the next day where I put them up on the beach, so that was a good sign. But, yeah, but anyway, real quick, getting back to the fishing trip, we got kind of off track there for a minute. So the technique was using paddle tails, using them on jig heads, and just kind of working around those mullet pods. And I think I've got one of my buddies listening in. I don't think he's logged in unless he's the daggone fishing magician. But never mind. There he is, Production Chris. My buddy Production Chris is the gentleman who bought my Motion kayaks from me. And I've been trying to get him to get on some fish, and I'm looking like a fool because every time I tell him to go somewhere and do something, he's not finding the fish. So it's been kind of frustrating for him and me both. So I think we're going to try and plan a trip this week and see if we can't get on him. But so the plan was just basically simple. Let's get out there for my clients and let's find the mullet, because once you find the mullet over here right now, there you're finding fish. And again, being that it's late December, that really shouldn't be the case.
Sorry for you, Chip.
You know, it's interesting to say the least. It's I don't know. It's fun because the fish are still super aggressive, and you can still catch, you know, numbers of fish using the same techniques that you would use in the springtime. So, but again, the choice bait of the day was a 4-inch paddle tail rig. The best way we found to rig them was on a 16th-ounce jig head. Color didn't make a difference. We all were using different colored jig heads at one time and different colored bodies. And I mean, I found a pack of Bass Assassins that had been sitting in my tackle bag for God only knows how long. That I think at one time were in the bed of my truck for God only knows how long. That had water in them, and so the color had faded, and I was still catching fish on that. So, you know, it was good. It was great. Fishing can't be any better than what it is right now, for sure. At least here on the Space Coast. So, but real quick, for those of you that joined us a little bit late earlier on, I talked about the old Florida Outdoor Festival in Apopka, Florida, coming up in February the 10th through the 12th. It seems that I'm going to be helping to put on a couple seminars there out of the Jackson Kayak booth. So if you're in Central Florida, you want to take your family to have a great time. Steve Chapman was nice enough to take me on a kind of a tour of the area where they're going to have the festival, and it hopefully will be what they're hoping it will be, which is the biggest outdoor festival that I would personally ever have been to, with a couple great country concerts Friday night, Jake Owen, and then Saturday night, Tracy Lawrence. So that's another little plug for the outdoor festival. But other than that, you know, I'm not even going to look at the chat room. Don't forget about the boondoggle that's taking place the week after that. So it should be fun. So let's see. I think Mark Lozier's being picked on about his new jeans that he's got.
It was just a point I was making on Facebook. It's pretty funny. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But now I'm getting joked about it. So
yeah, that's all right, man.
It's all good. It's all good.
Well, I don't know. Do you guys have anything you're going to be doing this week as far as fishing goes or scouting? Or, you know, did you get anything cool? Let's just do the Christmas thing. What did you get, Mark? Because I saw you got a couple of rods there and some other stuff. What other kind of cool things did you get besides Wranglers?
I got to come home, got to spend time with my family. That was the cool thing I got. And actually, one of those, the setups were Chris's even, so
nice.
Not even for me. So it's all, yeah. Well, actually, one of them was sent to me by a sponsor, and then the other one was my present to her from Daiwa. I'm trying to get that Shimano stuff out of her hand, but it's been a hard fix. So.
Now,
being home has been a present enough for me. So
that's awesome, man. That's good stuff. And, hey, what's your plan for the week, man? You going to try to get out and do some fishing, or are you still on vacation, or are you going back to work, or what?
Oh, no. I've got to work. I've got to be in Naples tomorrow, Jacksonville on Wednesday, and Orlando on Thursday, and then we're fishing Friday.
Sweet. Busy man.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, I didn't get much for Christmas. Then again, I didn't really ask for anything. I just wanted to spend time with my family and watch the boys open as many gifts as possible, and it was awesome, man. You think that the kids won the lottery every time they open up a gift bag? It had a book in it, or you know, a ball, or just like a car. One of the Logan, my youngest, got like a little sit on top bus push thing. And I think my oldest boy likes it more than Logan does. But just to watch the kids tear through the paper, and, you know, Logan being 1 year old is over there laying on the ground chewing on wrapping paper and stuff. I'm like, you know, you can't police it enough, but at the same time, it was awesome. So let's see real quick. Steve Chapman says if people want tickets, get their info, and we'll get them in for free. Sweet. So if anybody wants to go to the Old Florida Outdoor Festival, plan on doing that, get with me, give me your information, and we'll get some tickets to you for the festival. That's awesome. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate that. That'll be good times. Chip, you should be able to make that, buddy. It's the week before the boondoggle, so just bring your butt on down here a week prior, and we'll have fun. But yeah, you know, Christmas is here and gone. Anybody got any big plans for New Year's? Anybody?
Florida.
It's amateur night, man.
Yeah, I know it's amateur night, but I'm just saying. I mean, it's still New Year's. I mean, I know it's not really that big a deal, but at the same time, I, you know, it's a time to get to drop the kids off with grandma and grandpa, and me and my wife be able to kind of go and be adults for a little while. And
if I could, Chuck, I would go to Washington D.C. and I would go to the 908 Club and watch Thievery Corporation. They're playing New Year's Eve in D.C.
Right on. Oh, Production Chris says he's got a shindig going on at his house. Everybody's invited to Chris's house. I got directions. Email me. And no, I'm kidding. But, yeah, okay. Well, whatever. Just throwing that out there. I know I've got a couple of fishing trips lined up this week. Got a couple of charters. So that's been good. That's been picking up a little bit. And big announcement. Big announcement. Where is the news thing? Hold on a second. Hang on a second. I don't know. There it is. Yeah, whatever. I've been accepted to join the likes of Steve Gibson over in Sarasota and D. Kaminsky on the Bending Branches Pro Staff. Woo! Yay me!
Yay!
Congratulations!
Yeah, it's about time I get a quality paddle. I've been using a paddle that's similar to the one, if you guys were down for the Mosquito Lagoon trip, the one that D got as a joke. It's like a plastic pool paddle. is basically what my paddle has been like for the last couple of years. So, yeah, super excited. But anyway, I think I'm going to try and get Production Chris out there. Chris is a good friend of mine. I've known him for a couple of years now. He used to film such things as Cops, the TV show. And his recent projects are The Amazing Race. And so if any of you guys are Amazing Race fans, Chris is one of the guys that videos that. So he's a little bit new to the game as far as Florida fishing. He's from, I think you're from California originally, aren't you, Chris? And so we're trying to teach him how to catch redfish and trout. Well, he's got the trout thing down. The redfish are kind of eluding him, and so I'm going to kind of put him underneath my wing, so to speak, and try and get him taught, get him edumacated on the ways of catching redfish. So we'll have to see. I don't know. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So we'll see. But cool. Now that I've insulted one of my good friends, let's move on then, shall we? Chip, I see you're in the chat room. Did you get anything cool for Christmas that you won't call my show? Anybody? Chip? Whatever. Whatever. Yeah. Chip's too slow on that end of it. Rob, what did you get for Christmas?
The only fishing related stuff I got was two fishing shirts. So that was kind of cool. But got a whole stack of Blu-rays and Rome Season 1 and 2 on Blu-ray and Spartacus Gods of the Arena plus a whole bunch of other documentaries and stuff like that I like. So it was cool. So it was a sword and sandal Christmas for me.
Yeah, there you go. That's cool. Trey looks like you got some paddling pants for Christmas. It's a Coquitat Tempest.
That's it, real
paddling
fast.
Pants. Nice.
Yeah. Those are nice, man.
Yeah, I've seen them, man. I checked them out. Those things are sick. I didn't get any fishing related. I got a couple gift cards to Bass Pro Shops. That was pretty cool. But I didn't get anything as far as fishing clothes, I don't think. Nope. No, I got a shirt. That was it. But anyhow, so fishing. Let's see. Okay. So for weeks, I've been telling you guys to start looking for that transitional period where those fish are going to switch from eating fin fish and such to eating more crustacean-based diet. Throw that out the window. It's not happening. It hasn't got here yet. So boo on me. Whatever. I kind of, like a weatherman, I got my job wrong. I didn't give you the right prediction, so don't fire me. Still throw your jerk baits, throw your paddle tails, throw your top waters, throw your subsurface stuff. Have one of these.
Dude, it was weird. I'm not kidding you, man. Today, I saw not one mullet all day long.
Really?
Yeah. That hasn't happened in a long time.
That's crazy. I can't believe I'm still seeing them here. And finger mullet, like good sized finger mullet, like flounder bait. You know, like those nice five or six inch finger mullet.
Not one little fish to me. Did not see one needlefish, not one flounder. It was really kind of strange.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I told Chris had texted me while I was on the water, and you know he was out in deeper water, 3 and 4 foot of water, and you still got to come in closer than that, buddy. The fish are holding tight, man. They're holding tight to the shoreline. They're holding in that skinny stuff. I don't know why.
Not so today. Not here anyway.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Over there is a different story, but over here it was dumb, man. I don't know. You just, if you're in 3 or 4 foot of water over here to catch consistent numbers of redfish, you're too deep. You really need to move in closer. I mean, where we were fishing the other day, I was casting in a foot and a half, 2 foot of water. The fish were in that tight to the shoreline. Because they were ambushing the mullet. And that was the other cool thing, too. I watched a redfish come down along the bank, stop, back up, like literally back up. I didn't know they swam backwards. I ain't never seen one do it before. Swam backwards and put himself like right on the edge of a dead mangrove tree. And I'm like watching the whole thing go down because I'm standing in the water. And he just sat there and waited and waited and waited. And then here comes a small little pot of mullet, and as soon as they pushed by, he came rushing out of that spot and just blew up through the middle of them. And I'm like, you're not supposed to do that right now. Like, God,
why didn't you cast and spit and do that before the mullet school came by?
Because I wanted to watch and see what the hell he was doing. I mean,
all National Geographic.
Well, I was surrounded by him. It wasn't like he was the only one I had seen, you know, so it was like, man, you know, I'm looking at him. I'm like, what in the world? What's his plan, right? Like, I want to see how he's feeding. Why would he position himself like that? Why would he stop and turn around and kind of back himself up into this little spot? And that's what he was doing. They were waiting to ambush the mullet. So I told my guests, I told him, I said, listen, you know, we're in shallow water, but it's deep mud. It's probably about a foot or so of mud at least, if not more. These fish can lay their bodies down in that mud and still have their gills completely covered in water. So they're fine. They can do this all day long. Throw through the mud. You're not going to see them tailing. They're just laying there. So throw through the mud, and that's when they started picking up fish and, you know, quality, good size keeper fish. And they got to keep their limit of redfish, which is only one per person. But, you know, we could have kept a 10-person limit, if not more, you know, especially with the trout, too. If trout was open, we would have all had our limit of trout, so it was good. Steve, I saw you were going fishing, I think, today. Did you go in the chat room there? Steve Chapman? Be interested to see what you did. So my game plan has completely changed now for the next couple of trips, where I would normally say, okay, guys, let's get to a spot. Let's kind of shut down and not do anything. And just kind of sit there and wait and see what happens and look for fish kind of cruising in and be super stealthy in that whole thing. Now it's like, dude, just get to a spot that looks relatively fishy and fan cast your butt off if you're not seeing them tailing, and, you know, work it just like you would in spring. And that's what produced for us. It was crazy. So, you know, I guess my go-to tip for this week, if I had one, would be you don't necessarily have to downsize your baits, but still stick with that paddle tail. The water's clean-ish in the river right now. We had some wind today, so it might be a little bit dirty for the next couple of days. But roll that shad tail out past, like, say, if you find a wad of mullet, let it kind of drop down a little bit. And, you know, steady, nice steady retrieve. Don't bounce it through the grass. Take it easy, Trey. Thanks for joining us, man. Let it drop down through the grass and just kind of let it, like, creep right above it. You don't have to bounce it. You don't have to, you know, just that steady retrieve was the answer. As far as leader material goes, I don't think it makes a difference. DOA shrimps will work, Chris, but because he's asking in the chat room, so DOA shrimps are out. Safe to say, no, they'll eat them. Everything in the river will eat a DOA shrimp all year round. The only difference is for me, fishing a DOA shrimp the way that I fish is only good if I'm throwing to fish that I can see. As far as a search bait for me, it doesn't work as well because I can't move it as fast as I like to work a lot of water. Mark Nichols put out a couple of videos on YouTube about how to work a DOA shrimp, and it's like painstakingly slow. You know, you got to like creep it through the grass and let it hit some slack and kind of pick it up. And I know, Rob, I think you use quite a few DOA shrimp over on your coast.
So, yeah, I haven't for a while. But those are good baits, man. I don't have a problem with them.
Yeah.
But right now, it's something that's going to vibrate.
Yeah.
A shad tail or a curly tail or something like that.
Yeah, that's the answer. I mean, that vibration, as I told the folks I fished with, that vibration is really key, especially when those fish are active and the water
yeah,
is...
Yeah, they were... Like I said, those big trout were coming up today, and I was in, you know, 5, 6, 7 foot grass mat. Yeah. Which was totally not what I was expecting. And they were coming up after it. I mean, several times I had it, you know, like made a bad cast or had something wrong with the reel or something and had to, you know, reel it back in real fast. And that's where I caught a couple of fish were, you know, close to the kayak and close to the surface.
Right.
And it was in deep water. They were coming up after it. It was real weird.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever try like either, well, I don't know if it's real shallow, a regular spinner blade, like an R-bend wouldn't work as well, but like an inline? So you get a little more vibration with your paddle tail on there? Do you try those at all down your way? Or
yeah, I've thrown the Cajun Thunder style. I think it's what they call it. Redfish Magic is what it is. Redfish
yeah.
Magic style down here quite a bit, especially when the water isn't too terribly shallow, when it's about a foot and a half, 2 foot of water, and you know the fish
right.
are schooling up.
That's
and
what I'm saying, like an inline. You know what I'm talking about, like the inline,
yeah.
like at the straight, the blade.
Yeah,
yeah, not like the R band, like the Redfish Magic, but an inline.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I guess, what do you call it?
I use those.
That poison. Yeah, they call it the poison or whatever. Strike King has the poison, which is an
yeah,
inline.
That's what it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to use that a lot for flounder, too. That inline.
I use those a lot when the water is like murkier, when you might need a little bit more of a loud vibration to kind of, you know, help them locate it. But you'd be surprised how much, you know, vibration a little curly tail gives off, man. Those are good. Those are anything with any kind of vibration. I'm like totally convinced that most fish hunt that way. You know?
Oh yeah. Well, that's why they have a lateral line. They can pick up all the
yep.
vibration in the water. They find a lot of their bait prey, their prey items by the vibrations they give off. Whether it's a shrimp moving through grass or flicking backwards or a crab or what have you. I really enjoy throwing that paddle tail or that shad tail, I should say. I don't use a lot of spoons. the spinners, I'll throw the spinners quite a bit. And especially when I know the fish are schooled up and they're in deep enough water for me to throw a true spinner bait, like, you know, the traditional, I guess you could, I don't know what you called it, Mark, the R-bend or whatever.
R-bend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll throw that quite a bit. Chatterbait made one, not an inline, but the chatterbait itself. I used that a couple of times on fish that I knew were there, but couldn't get them to eat nothing. And I don't think it was the vibration as much. I thought it was just the shine off that gold blade that triggered the bite. So, yeah, that's a great lure, especially still now with the fish being as aggressive as they are, not having quite slowed down yet. But, you know, going back to, I guess, a tip, especially for my local guys, use your shad tails. All manufacturers of soft plastics makes a shad tail, and are any better than another? I don't know if they are, if they're not. I've got my own personal favorites. Hopefully, some new favorites showing up in a day or two. We'll see. if you throw your lure out and you reel it back to you and your rod tip is dancing, you're in the money. Everything is good. Everything in the world is perfect, you know, and eventually you'll run across a fish that'll eat it. If you're going to fish the flats, say from 520 north all the way up into the Mosquito Lagoon area, you know, look for the transition periods of grass to sand, shallow water. Don't be afraid to get out there early. The water's cool, but it's not cold enough to keep those fish off the flats early in the morning. We caught our first few fish the other day right at daybreak. So, I mean, they're there already. You don't have to wait till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock to roll out of bed. You can get there a little bit early if you want to and still do fine. The bite will carry on longer right now because the bottom is not holding the heat like it will later on. So the fish are just, they have no reason to get in and get out. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of, the water's not cold enough for that to make a difference. So, you know, try and downscale in the size of the braid you're using. If you're using braid, you're not able to get a long cast. I only use 10-pound Power Pro, and I connect that to a 12 to 15-pound monofilament leader, fluorocarbon if I have some, but I don't go out of my way to worry about it. Chris had said something earlier in the chat room, asked a question if knots make a difference, if a fish can see a knot or whatever, and no, they can't. Or at least I say they can't. I'm not a fish, but I don't think that they can. I've never had one spook away for what I thought was a knot. But, you know, as long as you're tying small, say, unis or improved clinches or whatever, you should never have a problem with that. But stay shallow. Stay out of that 3 or 4 foot of water stuff if you're looking for redfish over here. Get in skinny water and look for them fish to start pushing around and really start actively feeding. I know there's been a lot of tailing fish in the Mosquito Lagoon. There's been a lot of tailing fish in the north end of the Indian River. I saw a few tails the other day, but most of the fish I saw were just kind of like laying on the bottom. And I didn't see them until I almost pushed them. I don't know what the Rapala knot is, Chris, so I can't help
Surgeon's
you with that.
Surgeon's knot?
It's a Rapala knot? Same thing?
No. That's the only knot you need for line to line. You can tie it like blindfolded when your fingers are cold and everything else.
So there you go.
Knot that,
yeah,
and
polymer
it, and
knot.
And it holds really good, too. A what knot?
Palomar or polymer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I believe the Rapala is the loop knot. I think that's just what Rapala called it, the loop knot for action for the baits. Like you'd use on a mirror lure, that's a Rapala,
yeah.
Just a loop knot. So it gives your hard baits more of a hard bait knot, just so it gives it more action.
I actually have gone to using a loop knot on my soft plastics, and I don't think it makes a difference, but, I mean, it's cool.
I do with all my hard baits, like I said, all the plugs, my mirror lures, I've always used one, but I don't – yeah, I've never
– yeah. That's cool.
Especially walking the dog type lures.
Oh, Chip's saying that the Rapala knot is for line to lure. Yeah, leaves a loop. Yeah, that's what we were just saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. if you're using a line-to-line connection, I always tie a uni-uni, man, or double uni. I never have a problem with that. I never had one pull out, so, but that's pretty much it. That's what I'm trying. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, use that for your shad tails. Chris, I don't know what kind you're using, but if you're not using one with any kind of scent on it, maybe get yourself some scent product and try and use that. You know, it's what's that? Someone's whispering.
That was me. I'm sorry. I'm talking in the background. I think your show's coming on National Geographic at 9 o'clock.
What? Turtle Man?
The Swamp Man? Yeah, Swamp Man. Is it one bear?
No, Turtle Man.
That's
Turtle Man.
Turtle,
I don't know.
Turtle.
Yeah, the guy who yells, yee! That guy. But anyway, I'm going to try and get that guy on here as a guest one day. Maybe Chris might be able to work that out. He might know somebody in production that works with that crazy guy. But anyway. But anyways, guys, I'm at the end of my hour. I appreciate you guys joining me on a Monday night right after the major holiday and with football going on and all. Hope you guys have a safe rest of your holidays. And, yeah, there you go.
Real quick, Chuck, before you log out and everything, I just want to invite everybody that, listen to my show tomorrow, call in the chat room, whatever. I'm taking a kayak fishing radio vacation. So tomorrow will be my last show for a while. So, I'd be more than happy to talk to everybody. We're going to kind of reflect on the year that was. For kayak fishing radio for me, because I've been doing my show for a year. That's all right, man. I'm not going away. I'm just going on a little vacation. All right.
Anyway, yeah. So let's see. Check out the Old Florida Festival again. I'm going to promote the heck out of that thing because I'm going to be there, and I want you guys to come by and say hi to me. The Old Florida Outdoor Festival in Apopka, Florida, February 10th through the 12th, 2012. Tickets are available. You can call if you have any questions, 407-703-1777. Get a hold of me or Steve Chapman from Fishing Florida Radio if you should have any other questions about it. I can help to maybe point you in the right direction. They have a website, OldFloridaOutdoorFestival.com. If you want to go there and you do not want to pay for a ticket, feel free to send me a message with your address and contact information, and we will try our best to get you tickets for the event. Thank you very much, Steve, for that. What else is going on? Check out YakAngler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource for all things kayak fishing related. Yak Attack gear, check them out. If you don't have Yak Attack accessories on your kayak, then you need to get them. They are the best stuff going. I am hopefully soon going to have everything known to mankind attached to my kayak. So especially the panfish portrait mount, I am in desperate need of that. So we will see what that looks like, and I'll take plenty of pictures of it once I get it. What else is going down that I need to talk about real quick? Check me out on Facebook. If we're not friends, be my friend. I want to be your friend. Charles Levi Jr. is my normal page. If you want to be cool and like my page, it's Chuck's Kayak Adventures. Pretty simple. Tuesday night, as you heard, Rob's going to have his last show for a while. And, call in, show the guy some love. It'd be cool to send him off on his vacation with a whole bunch of people. And, yeah, Chuck, thanks, Chip. Next week, my show will be Pimp Your Kayak. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'll have spinners on my kayak cart. And I'll have two 10-inch subwoofers. I got Dubs in the garage. I'll hook to the side of the kayak just for you and take a picture. And then I'll put a 10-inch subwoofer in between my legs and the floor of the thing, and a 1,000-watt Rockford Fosgate amp behind my seat. But
you seem to know a lot about that. You're getting a little scary there.
Hey, man. There was a time back in the day where I was lost, and now I am found. So, yeah, whatever. Wednesday night, Mark Landing Crew, he will have his show. Thursday night is Godfather Chip Gibson, the tree hugger himself. And Friday night is the Spike and Ike show. Check them all out. All at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And that's pretty much it. Appreciate it, guys. Everybody in the chat room, the Loziers, thank you guys for spending the family time with me and Chris for joining us for the first time and a couple other folks in there. Let's see who else we got. Steve Chapman, you're always in there, man. I appreciate it. And I think that's it. Who else is in there? Anybody else in there? Let me see. Brad. Oh, and Steve's in there. Steve, who won our Costa Del Mar's last week. Stay patient, my friend. I'm sure they're on vacation. And they'll get you your certificate on your email as soon as they get back. But again, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. And if you have any questions, concerns, or comments about the show or just about fishing in general, please feel free to email me, chuckskayakadventures@hotmail.com. And I bid you a good night. Have a safe and happy new year. And I will talk to you the day after. Take it easy. Good night, everybody. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Mark.
Take care. See you later.
See ya.
Redfish Chuck.